As a church that practices gratitude, as a church that values gratitude, we want to pause just for a few minutes as we continue together in worship today to really say a big thank you to everyone in the Crossway community and beyond who are involved in the health and emergency services sector. We couldn't be moving through this season without you. I recognise at times we can take you for granted, but right now, in our lounge rooms, our dining rooms, backyards, wherever we are, we want to stop and salute all the great work happening. And as we do that, I'm with Beth today. Beth's a long-term Crossway member and experienced paramedic. Beth, great to share with you today.
Yeah, good to be here.
You're used to being in many challenging situations. I know my wife's an emergency nurse, and some of the things she takes for granted, I think, wow, how could you do that? As an experienced paramedic in the midst of COVID-19, what's it like? What's happening in your kind of world at this point in time?
Yeah, sure. Well, just like everyone else's world, our workplace particularly has changed quite dramatically over the last month or so. Just to give you an idea of normal for me as a paramedic, turning up to work, I'm in my uniform, we're being dispatched to cases, and we would normally head out to a family or to a case, just with our gloves, maybe some goggles on. We'll go in and have a chat to our patient. We'll talk about what the problem is, and we'll try our best to solve that and make a difference in that family's life, whether it's taking them to hospital or whether it's giving them some advice. COVID-19 has really changed just the basics of that. So we're now approaching every case where we're wearing our goggles, our gloves. We've got a mask on. A lot of the time, I'm walking in a big white suit.
Wow,
it's pretty confronting for people. It's a little bit scary for some patients. It means that we can't be quite as reassuring as we'd like to be. We ask a lot of questions in our job, and sometimes that can be a bit intimidating if someone's walking in and you can't see their face. And so it's been really different. Our infection control measures have really ramped up as well. So our caseload has decreased a little bit in terms of the number of cases that we're going to, but they're taking a lot longer. It means that we need to decontaminate our ambulance frequently, and we're having to go through and clean everything, and that might take an hour or so. So that means we can't respond to a case at that time, and it's quite delayed.
So lots of changes.
Yeah.
And as you said, quite intimidating and yet essential. And so I'm mindful that you're trained in this, and we've been talking a lot about this in different aspects of life in this season as leaders in your field as well. How do you be that non-anxious presence in the midst of so much anxiety?
Yeah, sure. It's something that I think over the years it's just been well practiced. So For starters, I look after myself. I make sure that I stay healthy. That I do a bit of exercise. I enjoy red wine every now and then. I pray before I go to work every shift.
That's great, yeah.
And in ambulance, we talk about having pause and plan moments. So I'm a human being. I get nervous just like everyone else, but I recognise the flight and fight response that comes up in me, and I really do try and stop and breathe and take in all the information that I need to, and see what I can do with that, and then plan and focus on what I can do rather than the situation that seems out of control at that point. Yeah.
It's interesting you just say that last comment, because I think all of us in life have been thinking about that as you pause, you plan, you catch your breath.
Sure.
There's that sense of in this season that ultimately we're not in control. So as a paramedic, as we wrap up, but as a mum, as a wife, in your own family life, what's God been teaching you in this season?
Yeah, I think as a mum and a wife and a paramedic, and I'm sure there are plenty of mums that would resonate with this, I like to be in control.
<That's>, we all do.
Yeah, and I think it's just not possible right now to feel that, but I have a really strong sense of reassurance from God that He actually is, that He's got this, that He's in control. And I feel like the more I talk to people and the more I look at people's responses to this situation, people are doing all sorts of things that they wouldn't normally do to respond to this situation. People are reaching out and caring for others. They're making sure that you know, the elderly relatives are checked in on. There's all sorts of ways that people are reaching out, and I feel that there's so much of God's goodness coming out in people, and I find that really reassuring. To just see that response and God's goodness coming out in that way.
Mm. Hey, Beth, can I say thank you on behalf of the Crossway community for all that you represent? As you kit up and hit the road again tomorrow and serve people, you represent all those emergency service workers, health workers, doctors, nurses, paramedics, police officers. We just want to celebrate you and celebrate that great community, that great team, hospital cleaners, everyone who plays a part in keeping us healthy and safe in this challenging season. We want to say thank you. And Crossway, if you know a health worker, an emergency worker, why not give them a phone call today, send them a text, drop a box of chocolates at their gate. Let's celebrate and give thanks to the great team that serve us day in and day out. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
We're going to throw to our great kids segment now, and let's just see what's in the mystery box today. Take it away, team.
Good morning, viewers. My name is Holly.
And I'm Molly, and welcome back to Holly and Molly's Mystery Review, the show where we reveal,
unveil,
and unbox
a mystery product. We don't even know what's in these boxes, but we get to unwrap them live so that you at home can decide whether you want them or not. Now, last week, we got to try some amazing Belgian chocolate.
You got to try the chocolate. I ended up with a nappy on my head and received hundreds of letters from viewers calling me Nappy Head.
Nappy Head. That's such a cute nickname. It suits you so... Okay, so the first product that I'll be trying out today is... a MacBook Pro.
Wow, that's so awesome. I wish I could have tried that product.
This computer has 1.4 gigahertz quad-core 8th generation Intel Core i5 processor with a turbo boost up to 3.9 gigahertz.
Yep, I'm sure all of our viewers got that. Anyway, I hope I get to try out something just as great as that product. Okay, so the product I'll be trying out today is...
on.
There's no label. I don't know what this is. I mean, it kind of looks like Nutella, but...
Well, viewers, according to our run sheet today, Molly will be testing some face cream.
Ooh, face cream, that's fancy.
So this luxury face cream contains over 19 forms of peptides and antioxidants, formulated to moisturize, soothe, and rejuvenate the skin.
My skin does feel radiant and smooth. I feel like I'm 16 again.
So, like... last year.
Yep. Anyway, it's your turn to try the next product, Molly. Right. I mean, Holly.
The final product that I'll be trying out today is... face cream!
Wait, what?
Oh, so this is the face cream.
So then what's on my face?
Nutella.
What? No, that's disgusting. How could you make a mistake like that?
I'm sorry. It's just a miscommunication.
A miscommunication? A miscommunication that's landed me covered in the... This is delicious. No, really, this is fantastic.
Stop that. All right, viewers, so clearly there's been a miscommunication.
You could say that again.
But which shows that it's really important to communicate clearly.
Yeah, that's right. Communication is really important with all sorts of people, like your parents or your siblings or your friends.
And it's also really important to communicate with God, no matter what you're feeling. Happy, sad, scared, or even bored. Whether things are going well or maybe not so well.
That's right. In fact, God actually wants us to be able to communicate with Him when we're going through really tough times. And we're actually going to be exploring that in today's Crossway Kids video.
So if you head over to the Crossway Kids YouTube channel, there will be a video there that will go live at 10:45 every Sunday.
That's right. And this video gives us a chance as families to discuss ways in which we can talk to God.
So make sure to follow that at the end of this, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Hey, Crossway, great to share with you around God's Word again today. As we continue to journey through this season, I just in my spirit felt today that it'd be really good for us to come to a Jesus story, a Jesus encounter story. And so if you've got your Bibles, you might want to come with me to Mark chapter 2. And I want to actually share 7 words with you today. And maybe a bit old-fashioned, can you grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, grab your iPad, grab your phone? I would encourage you to write these 7 words down today. Your typewriting, your slate board, you know. Let's write these 7 words down together as we come to God's Word. And I want to invite us later in the service to ponder what these 7 words might mean to us in the week ahead. But let me begin. Last weekend, I had the privilege last Sunday of leading a wedding, my first ever 5-person rural wedding. Hi to Brian and Dia, beautiful Crossway couple who I had the privilege of sharing with. You got to admire any couple who are planning a marriage in this season. Flexibility, adaptability. Brian and Dia went from the big occasion, and they had to keep kind of shrinking their plans. And last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we finally got them married. But what struck me is we were there in the park. Just the 5 of us and their pet dog with a beautiful red ribbon on, was how important the day was to them, no matter how big a crowd or how small a crowd. Beautiful that a man across the road came out, unplanned, unsolicited, with his trombone and played "Here Comes the Bride." That brought others in the neighborhood out, kind of cheering them on. A beautiful kind of occasion. As they looked each other in the eyes, as their eyes kind of filled with tears and they shared their vows, I was struck. It didn't matter whether there was 1,000 there or 5. Here was a day that they would never forget. A day they would never forget. We come to God's Word this morning, and there is a big crowd, and there are people crammed in. This is pre-social distancing, and we see an amazing encounter, and it's a story from Mark chapter 2 I'd like us to look at briefly this morning, because here is a story these people would have never forgot. Here is an encounter with Jesus that would have stuck with these people for the rest of their lives. Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. In Mark 1, with a real sense of urgency, Mark gets us into the gospel. He gets us into the unpacking of the good news. We see Jesus, the words, the works, the ways that we looked at last year in our Mark series. And there's this action, there's healing, there's people being exorcised from demons, there's authoritative teaching. And Jesus has come back home. And we read in verse 2, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Here's our first word, expectation. Can you write it down? Expectation. The house is full. People are crammed in. You can't get any more people in. Why have they come for? They don't fully know who Jesus is. They haven't kind of done alpha, ticked the box, made a commitment, but they are on a journey towards discovering more about this special man, this teacher, this rabbi. Who is this man? There's a sense of expectation. And then four men arrive carrying their mate on a mat, a paralyzed man. And why did they want to get him to Jesus? Because they know there is something in this man, the healer. They want to get their friend to Jesus. In this season of isolation, in this season of transition and change in our lives, I wonder, have we lost that sense of expectation of what God wants to do? God is not distant, Crossway. You know, God is not in work from home mode. God is at work in our lives, our world, our community, our neighborhoods. And today it may be that the word that we need to grab hold of afresh is expectation. It may be, if we're honest, we've kind of lost that sense of anticipation and expectation of what God might do in my life, of what God might do in my family, of what God might want to do in my marriage, of what God might want to do in my neighborhood, in my ministry across the globe. The crowd are packed in, and these four men, they come to bring their friend to Jesus, and there's expectation. Today, are we expectant on what God still wants to do in our lives in the midst of the season we find ourselves in? Word one, expectation. And the story continues. The four men bring their friends to Jesus. We see teamwork. We see people working together, and that gives us our second word, collaboration. There's a sense of expectation, but in this passage, again, we're reminded of the importance of collaboration, that we're better together, particularly in a season like this, particularly when we face challenges, whether it's a paralyzed man on a mat or whether we find ourselves paralyzed with fear, whether we find ourselves stuck, whether we find ourselves disappointed, discouraged, whatever it might be in life, we're better together. Expectation and then collaboration. But you know what? Write this down. Expectation, collaboration, our third word, realization. What do we see here? The man on the mat, there's no sense that he's been kidnapped. There's no sense that he's got a seatbelt strapped onto him, that he's being forced to come. He wants to be there, but what has happened in his life? He's come to a point of realization that he can't do this on his own. And I really sense that's a word from the Lord for some of us sharing in church online today. That you're trying to do life in your own strength, and the realization afresh today is that God is not distant, God is here, but more than that, that God puts people into our lives that we can go the distance together. The man could have never got to Jesus unless there were those carrying the mat. And I sense, particularly for some of you who may be at home alone today, my prayers and thoughts are with you in this season of isolation. I know that exacerbates the situation. Or some of you today may be facing really challenging circumstances. And in the world that you find yourself in today, life seems even harder or tougher. Can I encourage you that maybe the best thing you will do today is not wait for someone to make contact with you, but reach out to someone and say, I need help. Make that phone call, drop that email, be vulnerable, be real, be authentic and say, I'm struggling on my own and I need some people to help carry the stretcher. Literally, as the four men carried that man, they were carrying his burdens. We're called to carry each other's burdens. Expectation, collaboration, realization. You know, if I look back on my life, if I was to do one thing again in a different way, it would be far more willing to reach out for help. When someone says, hey, I'm here to help you, let's be willing to receive that help in Jesus' name. Let's be willing to help each other. Today, are we expectant on God to be at work in our lives, in our marriages, our families, our ministry? Are we valuing collaboration? Are we valuing the sense that we're not called to do this on our own? Now, I look back to a few weeks ago, seems like it's a blur now, maybe a month ago, and we closed our offices at Crossway. It was a big decision, but a wise, proactive one. I remember being in the office that night, And it was about 9:30 in the evening, and I was kind of churning out an email to go out to the church community about where we were in the midst of COVID-19 at the time. And God bless him. Lachlan James, one of our pastors here at Crossway, said to me earlier in the afternoon, "Do you want me just to hang around to be with you?" My first gut reaction was to say, "No, I'm okay, Lachie, I can do this." But thankfully, my spirit was checked and I said, "Yeah, well, will you stay? Hang around." By 9:30, I was so tired. Lachie was actually at the keyboard typing the email for me. And I was struck afresh that we're not called to do life alone, particularly in a season like this. Expectation, collaboration, realization. Let's be community together. And that brings us to the fourth ation, the fourth word today. Can you write it down? Determination. Determination. There was a sense that Jesus could change the situation, and the men want to get their friend to Jesus. There was a realization the man couldn't do it on his own, and we see them practicing team and collaboration, but wow, were they determined. There's a few different translations of this passage. One says that they practiced bold belief. Another says we see determined faith. I guess the word that comes to my mind is resolve. Resolve. We've come out of Easter. Some traditions continue to celebrate Easter even this weekend. And in this Easter kind of week, in this season, we remind ourselves, yes, of love and sacrifice and courage. We remind ourselves of everything that Easter represents. But the one word that's been on my mind over the past week is resolve. It was so beautifully captured in that video that Lucas and Heather Packett put together for us last weekend. You might still see it online. The resolve of Jesus. The resolve of Jesus to go all the way for you and me. The resolve of Jesus to do the Father's will. His absolute commitment to determination. In this passage, we see determination. Here are these men, and they've got to get their friend to Jesus. And they're resolved and determined that the crowd, the barriers, the blockages, we'll come back to those in a few minutes, that they are not going to get in the way. In my own spirit, I've been asking myself this week, how strong is that resolve? How strong is that courage? Have I lost sight of that kind of passionate, bold belief? Are there other things in my life in this season or just in life in general that have taken over? Am I focusing too much on my circumstances or my other needs or kind of worldly ambition or other priorities? How strong is my resolve to keep getting closer to Jesus in my own life, to look more like him, to grow as a disciple? To be authentic, to grow in my love relationship with God, to look more like Jesus in my ways, my works, my words. And also, am I determined, am I resolved that I want to help others get to Jesus? Got those words on paper? Expectation, collaboration, realization, determination. We've got three more to go. But can I invite us in our lounge rooms, around our dining tables, wherever we're worshipping today? I just got a picture before of my boy at home, and he set up a drum kit in the kitchen with saucepans and he's ready to worship again. And so with those four words in mind, expectation, collaboration, realization, determination, can we pause and let's worship again our God, the miracle worker, the healer, the great God. Let's worship him and then let's come back and finish our list off together this morning. Sam, lead us. Thank you.
Let's sing "Water You Turn."
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none. stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Into the darkness.
Into the darkness you shine. As we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God is stronger. Our God is greater. What a great reminder, and so fitting in the midst of this passage. Our great God, a God of all seasons, the God who brings healing, the God who brings change. Ready to come back to our list? So we've got expectation, being expectant on God in our lives in this season. God, that you might do a new thing in my life, my family, my ministry, right here, right now. Collaboration. We're in this together. Realization, we need each other. Determination. And as I was going through this passage again yesterday, it kind of struck me that what does bold faith birth? We say it in our own values at Crossway about daring to dream. Bold faith leads to innovation, or the word I've got here today is imagination. These four men are determined to get their mate to Jesus. And there's the crowd. They can't get in the house. And we don't get the background story, but just grab hold. I really think this is a word for someone today. I really believe in my spirit this is a word for someone today. What do? Rather than look at the crowds, they look up. They lift their eyes off the crowd, off the packed room. They lift their eyes and they see what? They see a roof. They see a ceiling. And it's like this God idea, this God moment where it's like, what about if we take him through the roof? Yeah, such a simple story, but if we actually step back and let it sink in afresh, it's so powerful. The crowd wasn't going to get in the way. Imagination. Their faith leads to God-given imagination. Let's get our friend through the roof. I'm the chairman of our occupational health and safety committee here at Crossway, so I didn't think it was a great idea to try to lower Sam Taylor down through the roof today to kind of reenact that scene. But it's a beautiful picture. That the determination that God is with them, that God is the healer, that God is for them, as we've just sung about, is going to allow them to spark that creativity and that imagination in their life. We're going to get our friend through the roof. I just wonder today, Crossway, where in our lives might God be saying, look up? Where might God be saying afresh, look up, open your eyes and see what more I want to do in your lives. Look up with imagination. Isn't it great that there are so many good things happening around our communities and neighborhoods at this time? Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for how people are responding. I know we've set up a street library out the front of our place, and people walking past, leaving books, borrowing books at a safe distance, engaging over the fence. So many creative things happening. But, you know, I read a really good article this week. How do we seize this time? How do we seize this season? How do we seize this period that we won't come out the other side and just go back to the way we've done things before? How might it be that in this season, in our individual lives, in our families, our ministries, as churches, how might it be that we capture God-given imagination afresh and we come out the other side and we do new things? We're singing new songs. We're embracing new ministry. We're reaching people in new ways because our God is a God of imagination. Expectation, collaboration, realization, determination, write it down. Imagination. Maybe today your prayer is, God, spark something fresh in me. Spark something creative in me. I'm stale, God. I'm closed to new ways. God, spark something afresh in me. A number of years ago now, I had the privilege of meeting a beautiful young woman called Lena. A woman who had been the daughter of a street-based sex worker in Calcutta. A woman who'd grown up in absolute poverty, a woman who had none of the resources or nothing that I would take for granted in my world. And through a friend, through radio, she heard the good news of Jesus. She was desperate for hope and meaning and purpose. She heard the good news of Jesus and over a period of time began to understand in her own way what it meant to follow Jesus, and she committed her life to Christ. And over the next 12 months, in dreams and visions and prayers, she kept having this one single thought that God was laying upon her heart to start a school. She had no education. There were kids that she called street rats, kids who were just running around the streets in her neighborhood in absolute poverty, hungry, most of them with no education, no resources, a lot of them whose mothers sadly had turned to prostitution. And she had this vision of what could happen if I could start a school. Can you imagine what happened when she went to the local authorities? A young woman with no money, no resources, no education, known to be the daughter of a local street-based sex worker. Can you imagine the response she got? Yeah, they scoffed, they mocked, they laughed. But you know what? Lena held on to that God-given dream. She held on to that God-given dream. Why? Because she was expectant upon God and she was determined. A woman of bold faith despite the odds. And you know what? You go to her neighborhood today and there's a thriving school. There are kids learning not only education but learning about Jesus. There are thriving schools that she's established across her country. She started micro social enterprises. She's employing people. She's seeing communities transformed, and it began with a seed inside her. And here's my challenge, Crossway. In the midst of this season of isolation, with more time at home, with more time for self-examination, it's in my heart today that for some of you, God is planting a new dream. God is planting a ministry seed. It might be you're going to end up overseas in cross-cultural ministry. It might be you're going to start a new ministry in your own backyard. Whatever it might be, where God is planting a seed, water it this season. Hold on to it. Dream. I'm looking forward to seeing post-COVID-19. And all that God can do as he births new dreams, as he gives imagination in this season. Okay, you ready to go? We're nearly there. Expectation, collaboration, realization, determination, imagination. And of course, what happens? they lower their mate through the roof. They get through the roof. And what do we read? Seeing their faith, seeing their determination, seeing their imagination, seeing their boldness, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, hang on a minute. They brought their mate to get healed that he might walk. But hey, they got far more than they bargained for, because suddenly they realized they're in the presence of not just a special teacher, but here is God in the flesh. God has moved into their neighborhood. Here is the Son of God in power, who not only brings physical healing, but emotional healing and spiritual healing. Here is the God who brings transformation. Jesus says, hey, what a beautiful act of faith. You can get up, roll up your mat and walk. You don't need your mat anymore. You're going to walk. You're physically healed. But more than that, I want to restore you emotionally. I want to restore you spiritually. I've come that your sins would be forgiven. And we've just come out of Easter, and that is captured so powerfully in love and sacrifice as Jesus lays down his life for us, that he comes to bring holistic healing. He comes to bring transformation to our lives, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Where do you need God to bring transformation into your life, into your relationship today? And although we're scattered Crossway, we're committed with that vision of transformation for our city, our nation, and our nations. Expectation. It started with that. Expectant on a God who never gives up on us. Expectant on a God who isn't distant. Expectant on a God who is here, ready for us today, but who calls us to be people of bold faith. Today, do you need to step out afresh? Do you need God to do some restoration, some renewal in your life, your heart? Do you need to reclaim that first love, some of that passion that you've lost? Is there a sense of the need for courage, the need to step out afresh and say, God, here I am, do something new within me, bring transformation into my life? And we are so thankful for a God who hears our prayers, who acts in our lives. Okay, here's the last one. If you've got them written down for the week ahead, you've got expectation, collaboration, realization, determination, imagination, transformation, and the last one. I had to work hard on this one. The last one is eradication. 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 You know, we've had some troubles in the house that we've had for a long time in Newcastle, a great big older house, but we had termites. And we saw far too much of the pest control. We need to keep bringing him into the house all the time. And his job was eradication. He had to get rid of the pests. We're not called into eradicating pests, but you know what we are called to? You know what this passage reminds us of? That you and I, as ordinary disciples of Jesus, the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, we are called every day in our lives to seek to eradicate the barriers that would get in the way of people coming to experience Jesus in ways they can understand. Grab hold of that. What was the barrier here? The barrier was the crowd. The barrier was the ceiling. The barrier was the building. And so what do these faithful men do? They smash down the barriers and they get their mate to Jesus. Nothing was going to get in the way. I'm thankful to Mark Holt, who I'm now working with at Global Interaction, who's given me that really powerful metaphor over the last month, that in our lives as followers of Jesus, individually and corporately, we're called to be barrier breakers. We're called to be men and women who break down the barriers that people might see Jesus in ways they understand. Well, what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for us? I heard the story the other day of a man who had come back to church, not in our church here at Crossway, but another church, a man who'd come back to church after 20 years of being away. 20 years ago, at a crisis time in his life, remembering his Sunday school days, he decided out of the blue one day, with a sense of the Spirit at work in his life, he decided to rock up to a local church. It was a big call for him. And he got there and he was anxious and he was nervous. He thought the roof might fall in. Just before he goes into church in the car park, he pulls out a cigarette to have one last anxious kind of cigarette before he goes into church. And you know what? He tells the story of some older man coming over to him carrying a big Bible who says, "I think you're in the wrong place, mate. It's time to move on." What a tragic story. It's time to move on. And for 20 years, that man did not come back near a church because a barrier had been put up. And here it is. Jesus came to smash down the barriers, cultural, gender, anything that would get in the way. God comes in the person of Jesus to smash down the barriers and to call us to be barrier breakers. And what was this man doing in his religiosity? He was putting the barrier back up. But I can do the same thing in how I see people of different backgrounds, in how I see people of different ethnicity, of how I see people who aren't like me. I can put the barrier up and I can hinder them seeing Jesus in the way that God wants them to see Jesus. Every one of us is a witness today. We're either being a healthy, effective witness or we can be a poor witness. We can put those barriers in place. We can do it as churches. We can hold on to traditions and rituals and things that we think are so important or even things we want to fight over, but ultimately they're not important at all when it comes to people getting close to Jesus. It's interesting, the religious leaders were amongst the crowd. The Jewish religious leaders were in that crowd blocking the men from getting their mate to Jesus, but they found a way to break down the barriers. Individually, corporately, we're called to be eradicators, to eradicate the barriers. My wife, so humbly, graciously reaching out to asylum seekers in our community who've lived with racism, who can live with an attitude that Australians don't care about them. How do we show them a different picture? So humbly, so graciously, what does she do? She breaks down the barriers. They can see the church and Christians and followers of Jesus in a different light. Around the world today, there are 3.2 billion people, 40% of the world's population, who still haven't heard the good news of Jesus in ways that they can understand. It's why I'm committed to now working with Global Interaction. It's why we support international workers around the world at Crossway, breaking down the barriers culturally, politically, historically, religiously, that people can come to see Jesus. Okay, there's our words. Expectation, collaboration, realization, determination, imagination, transformation, eradication. How's the passage finish? The man has been healed, and the crowds together say, "Who is this man?" And they celebrate together. They celebrate that good news is in their midst. They celebrate transformation. They celebrate healing. They celebrate hope. They celebrate change. They celebrate that God is in the neighborhood. Crossway, in your life today, individually, in your marriage, in your family, as communities, where do we need God to break afresh into our lives? Because that's what He wants to do. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. He wants to break into our lives afresh today. Will you pray with me? Father God, we want to thank you that you are the God of transformation. We want to thank you that you're the God who meets us where we are, the God of all seasons, grace with a human face. We want to thank you that you call us into relationship with you. We want to thank you that we can come today and be expectant. Father, where there are hardened hearts today, I pray that in Jesus' name you might break hardness. Where people have lost that first love, I pray in Jesus' name today that you might help them restore that first love. Where people are feeling distant from you today, Lord, remind them that you are never distant from them. Father, for some today it might be a day to put their hand up for the very first time, to right now click and put a message on the screen that I want to follow Jesus for the first time in my life. Can I encourage you, write those words, write it now, pray it now. God is here for you. What does it mean for every one of us to take hold of those words in our life today, to realize that God wants us to break down the barriers, that we might draw near to Him, but more than that, that we might help others discover Jesus in ways they can understand. We pray that together. God, move in our lives today, this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Crossway, can I encourage this week, take those seven words, take one word each day for the next week. pray over that word and say, God, break into my life that I might be that disciple of Jesus, modeling the works, the words, and the ways of Jesus. God bless you. Let's worship as we wrap up today.